Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and yes, indeed, this is a live program. We're live on a weekend of many canned broadcasts, and well, one of the reasons that I'm here is because this is precisely what I like to do. One of my favorite activities is to share vital health information with you. So it's a holiday, and I'm doing what I want to do. Hopefully, you're getting a lot of what you want to do. And you can make Intelligent Medicine part of your holiday weekend. You can also participate by calling in at 888-302-3684. That's our number. We got lots of time to take your phone calls on a leisurely holiday weekend. And so you can begin calling. And among the topics that we're going to tackle probably next hour, we're going to do this when we join our big audience in New York City on the new 710 WOR. According to the Swiss Medical Board, stop widespread mammography screening. What's up with that? We're getting very contradictory messages from the medical establishment. Some people are saying, don't bother with mammograms anymore. They're not worth the trouble. And others are saying, no, mammograms are an essential bulwark against breast cancer. So what are we to believe? We're going to break it down for you in the next hour. And we got lots of stories to share with you this hour. And we're going to have some fun. We're going to enjoy ourselves on a relaxing holiday weekend. Let's start with something a little bit upbeat. One of my favorite things is dark chocolate. I enjoy a piece of dark chocolate now and then. In fact, I must confess that one of my rituals prior to getting on the radio is I have a little bit of decaf, and I have a couple of chunks of dark chocolate. It seems to improve my cerebral blood flow. It helps me make better associations when I'm trying to recall arcane medical facts for you. And according to a new study, well, there may be really something to it. This is a study that looks at something called PAD, peripheral arterial disease, otherwise known as claudication. Claudication means that you can't get enough blood circulation to the muscles in your legs and you conk out. It's a painful condition that is hard to treat. Sometimes it's treated with grafting. You go in there and you put new arteries in there, but the arteries often fail. It's a condition that is commonly found in smokers and diabetics, people with bad lipid profiles, and it is the scourge of millions of Americans. It sometimes results in toe, foot, leg amputations. PAD, or peripheral artery disease, is a serious problem. And so, according to this new study, and I must admit it's a small study, but it's a good study. They did a really good job breaking it down. This study provides the first evidence that short-term intake of dark chocolate by PAD patients is associated with a significant increase of walking autonomy. That's pretty cool. You can walk farther after eating some dark chocolate. But according to the researchers, not after intake of milk chocolate. Some people that I know just hate dark chocolate. They only have taste buds for milk chocolate. Maybe that's something that you get used to as you grow up and you eat a lot of chocolate candy. Most of the chocolate candy that's available in stores is milk chocolate. It's, I don't know, maybe it's tastier for some people. I prefer the dark chocolate. And I go for the high test. 85% dark chocolate is my favorite. And what they say is the novel finding of the present study is an improvement of walking distance and walking time 2 hours after ingestion of dark but not milk chocolate in peripheral arterial disease patients or PAD patients. And why is there a difference? Well, according to researchers, when you add milk to a polyphenol-rich substance, whether it be tea or green tea, or whether it be coffee, which has beneficial dark polyphenols. In the case of tea, it's EGCG. In the case of coffee, it's caffeic acids. And in the case of chocolate, it's cocoa polyphenols. Well, the milk or the cream or the half and half interferes with the absorption of the beneficial polyphenols. And so they're saying, well, it must be the polyphenols that accounts for the benefits of the dark chocolate, because that's precisely what the milk interferes with. And that's why dark chocolate, but not milk chocolate, works. Accordingly, and they measure this, total polyphenol content was much higher in dark compared to milk chocolate. And they actually measured levels of serum polyphenols in the people who consumed the chocolate, and they found that the dark chocolate did the trick. Previous studies have shown artery dilatation. That means the chocolate expands your arteries, even in smokers, who have bad problems with arterial circulation. So what they're saying here is that polyphenol antioxidants are helpful. Also, they help to encourage nitric oxide production. Nitric oxide, the miracle substance that's responsible for the beneficial effects of many heart drugs, as well as the miracle drugs for erectile dysfunction. Yeah, chocolate may be indeed an aphrodisiac. That's why it's so frequently a present on Valentine's Day. And this is a pretty cool study. So once again, I feel vindicated with my chocolate consumption. Keep in mind, though, that chocolate can be pretty caloric, and you got to go for high test chocolate. And it doesn't take much to get that beneficial effect on your arteries. But pretty cool information about one of my favorite substances. I thought we'd start out with something fun on today's edition of Intelligent Medicine. Lots of sports this weekend. I'm watching post-game show on the Tour de France. Because of the time differential, it's over in England. It starts out in England. Usually it's the Tour de France. Obviously in France, sometimes extending into Spain. But this year it starts off in England, in the beautiful Yorkshire countryside. And they're showing these amazing aerial shots of the beautiful fields and streams and meadows and hills and castles of Yorkshire. And it was just a fabulous race. You see all those beautiful multicolored jerseys there. And I'm an avid cyclist, and of course this gets me going. And I see the fabulous bicycles that these guys are riding that cost thousands and thousands of dollars. And I have bicycle lust for the amazing equipment that they get to use on these bicycle courses. And they're just racing along at speeds that many of you don't achieve in your cars. They're going 40, 50 miles an hour down these narrow roads. But unfortunately, this year's race was marred by a crash. It was a thrilling finish. And at the very end, with just a few yards to go, one of the favorites in the race, Mark Cavendish, crashed. He went head, the term is ass over tea kettle. He just went head over heels, going at an incredible speed. Must have been going 45 miles an hour. And you saw it again in excruciating detail again and again on replay. And he must have broken his shoulder, his collarbone. But valiantly, he got back up, got on his bike, and he did, you know, people doing victory laps. Well, he did a defeat lap. He rode his bike holding on with one arm and his other arm dangling uselessly from one side as the crowd cheered wildly, as presumably he drove himself to the infirmary hospital for care. I mean, these guys are amazing hammerheads. They have incredible tolerance for pain. And of course, if you're not a bike fan, you got the FIFA, you've got the World Cup, and lots of sports to enjoy on this wonderful holiday weekend. All right, we're going to take your phone calls momentarily. 888-302-3684, that's our number, on this beautiful holiday weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
If you're like me, balancing my blood sugar is important to me for my health and wellness, especially as I get older. I pay attention to what I eat and try to exercise daily, but even that might not be enough. So each day I take Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance in conjunction with a healthy diet, regular exercise, and plenty of rest. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is my trusted ally for healthy weight management, overall cardiovascular health, and immune function. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is a synergistic combination of odorless kyolic aged garlic extract and herbs and nutrients shown to help maintain blood sugar levels. And it's made by our friends at Kyolic, the number one best-selling odorless garlic supplement on the market for over 40 years. So join the Kyolic team. I did.
Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Why do I use Clear Sinus Care? Because I like to breathe.
Because I hate having a dry nose.
There are a lot of reasons to use Clear Sinus Care, the nasal rinse and sinus spray with xylitol. But the best reason is because it works.
I use Clear because my doctor told me to.
Because it's all natural.
Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R, moisturizes and soothes those dry and irritated sinuses. Clear Sinus Care not only helps with dry air problems, it also helps wash away pollens, pollutants, and other airborne contaminants, making your sinus passageways all clear.
Because my snoring was keeping my wife away.
Because now I'm not all stuffed up.
And because it's all natural, Clear is 100% safe for children. The perfect way to keep your whole family healthy and breathing right. Prevent the misery and stop the suffering with Clear. That's X-L-E-A-R at clear.com and fine retailers.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
For more intelligent medicine, download our free podcast at drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Need I mention that it's also Wimbledon. It's a Wimbledon weekend. So, boy, you sports freaks, you barely have any excuse to get off the couch. Okay. Let's talk to Barbara. By the way, our number 888-302-3684 if you want to get through. And I want to mention that we've got a new affiliate. We've got WEMJ AM in the Concord, New Hampshire area. They're picking up our show. That show will air Sundays from 2 to 4 p.m. and begins airing tomorrow. So welcome aboard WEMJ in the Concord market in the Lakes region of New Hampshire. Looking forward to talking to all you folks out there in that beautiful part of the world. All right, let's talk to Barbara, who's in Rome, Pennsylvania. How you doing?
Hello. I have been diagnosed with Mycobacterium avium complex.
Yeah.
What's your best course of treatment?
Okay, so tell me a little bit about how that came about, that diagnosis, because for a listening audience, this is something that's related to tuberculosis, but it's
right.
Actually is fortunately less serious and dangerous than tuberculosis, although it can really drag you down. It usually occurs in people who have bad lungs, chronic lung problems, and avium actually comes from the word, I guess it's the Latin word for bird, so there's some thought that it may be transmissible via pigeons and birds, but not necessarily. It's something that happens to people whose immunity is a little compromised. So tell me a little bit about how do they arrive at this diagnosis?
Okay, well, I took the first test, the sputum test, and it took...
Because you were coughing. You were having lung problems.
I was coughing, yes. Actually, I've been coughing for years, but I never did anything about it until recently. Mm-hmm. It was December of 2013.
So are you a former smoker, or do you have a chronic lung problem?
Well, no. My lungs were always good. I did smoke maybe 50 years ago, mm-hmm. but not that much.
Okay.
And so the doctor said my lungs were okay, but recently this is really increasing every day. Mm-hmm. You might be interested to know that I just finished 3 weeks of antibiotics
sure.
for Lyme disease, and
now
I have this to look at, and they're talking about a course of drugs which might last one full year.
Yeah.
Now, he's saying that it might be Lady Windermere syndrome.
Wow. Lady Windermere.
Yeah.
That sounds like, like a 19th century disease. What, was Lady Windermere someone who fed the pigeons on Trafalgar Square or something?
Oscar Wilde's character, she was royalty, and she had the fan so that people wouldn't see her coughing and spitting.
Ah, okay. Yeah, she was sort of delicately dab the corner of her mouth with her dainty lace handkerchief.
Well, I think possibly, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I can't recall. I read that a long time ago. But anyway, she would hold the fan up to her face.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess that's better than Dorian Gray syndrome, where you look great, but then the mirror looks horrible, and then you die suddenly.
Anyway, I completed the first test. But then he said, you have to have a second test. You have to have two positives.
Oh, yeah. Because it's hard to diagnose that. MAVIUM is something that is, you can detect it from sputum, or you can detect it with a bronchoscopy where they actually go down with a tube. But then it's what's called a fastidious organism. It's very hard to grow in a culture medium. So to make a diagnosis takes many weeks for it to grow out, and then I guess maybe they're not sure, so they want to make doubly sure, because the treatment is arduous. You have to be on multiple antibiotics for a long period of time, just like you treat tuberculosis. And so they're giving you several antibiotics simultaneously?
They have not given me anything. As
they haven't yet decided that you have it. Okay.
Well, until the second diagnosis, the second test.
Yeah.
Personally,
and your X-ray showed up patchy lung infiltrate, funny stuff in your lungs. Yeah. Okay.
And then we took a second one, and that was worse.
Uh-huh.
But this has been really, I was fine for years. And just since January, I was fine.
Did you have like fevers and like fatigue and you feel kind of under the weather? No,
you're
just coughing.
No, but now it's mainly coughing. And when I walk up hills, it's hard to breathe.
Okay. Yeah. Well, something's going on there. So, all right. So I would say that the conventional treatment, if they prove that it's that, should be employed, because you will need antibiotics to kill off the very sometimes difficult to treat bacteria. But there is really some strong evidence that in tuberculosis, vitamin D really helps you overcome tuberculosis. That's why in the olden days, before they had antibiotics and they really didn't know what caused tuberculosis, they did notice that if you sent people to a sanitarium and they sat and they got a lot of sun, they would get out from the cities. Tuberculosis is mainly a disease of urbanization and something that's present in the northern hemispheres, very rare in equatorial areas. And so people went to sanatoria and they sat in the sun and they got better. So producing vitamin D with ultraviolet light helps, and taking vitamin D at high doses can help overcome tuberculosis. So that I would recommend you take as high doses as your doctor will allow you, with blood tests checking your levels. You may need 5 or even 10,000 international units per day, depending on your blood levels. And then other things to support immunity, selenium and zinc, and you might take a transfer factor and a product called Empower. You can find out about these more esoteric things on our website at drhoffman.com. And build up your natural immunity so that your body can overcome this, because it's only in part the antibiotics' action to suppress the bacteria. It's part of it is your own immune system's ability to push back against infection, because not everybody gets MAVIUM. People who have somewhat suppressed immunity are more prone to MAVIUM infections, or if they have bad lungs. So that's what I would suggest to you. Interesting call, but it's a tough diagnosis to make. But hopefully you'll be successful in alleviating your cough. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 888-302-3684 on a beautiful 4th of July holiday weekend. We're here to take your phone calls. We're live. This is Intelligent Medicine.
Did you know that doctors recommend omega-3 essential fatty acids for kids and grown-ups alike? Nordic Naturals, the number one fish oil in the U.S., offers omega-3s for everyone. In fact, Nordic Naturals has one of the largest product portfolios in the world. Our best-selling Ultimate Omega is available in soft gels or liquid, both with a light, clean lemon flavor and no fishy aftertaste. This concentrated formula has been clinically shown to support heart health. For children, kids everywhere love Nordic Naturals Children's DHA, offered in great taste
long-lasting strawberry liquid or chewable soft gels. New Omega Boost is a creamy, delicious formulation of omega-3s. With its great mango taste and velvety smooth texture, Nordic Naturals Omega Boost is a great choice for the whole family. Nordic Naturals carefully manages every step of production of our omega-3 fish oils from boat to bottle, so you can count on Nordic Naturals to be exceptionally pure, fresh, and effective. Nordic Naturals, for kids and grown-ups alike. Available at natural products retailers or online at nordicnaturals.com.
A regular dose of intelligent medicine injected directly into your inbox. Subscribe to Dr. Hoffman's free newsletter. Just go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and let's take some calls. Let's talk to David, who's in Creston, Iowa. How you doing, David?
How you doing, Dr. Hoffman? I'm so glad to get a hold of you. You got one of the most intelligent programs I've heard on radio in the last 50 years.
That's great to hear.
Well, you're quite welcome. You know, it's pretty hard. You can find a lot of educated people, but you can't find too many intelligent ones. That's my case, okay? I want somebody to kind of figure my problem out for. I had an accident on Christmas Eve. I hit a 1,500-pound steer coming back from St. Joe and went off in a ditch.
You hit a steer?
Yes. I went home at night. We were Christmas, and we went off a 30-foot embankment, and both of us slid down. This was more than 40. I thought we were going to roll over, and we hit the bottom, and several weeks after that, I started having back problems. My feet cramped. I had leg cramps that last 15 minutes. I had to slide down in the bathroom to get medicine, pain pills. I almost called the emergency room. I finally got in. They did an MRI. They said that I had a little swelling back there. I've been getting shots, and I've been also getting B12 shots to build up my energy a little bit. And what I think I've been ahead of a horrible loss of weight lately. The last few months, I've lost, I think it was the last 4 weeks, I've lost 5 pounds a week. Now I weighed 180.
Okay, so
now I'm 135.
Let me intercede here because your connection, your phone is a little weak. But let me just run by a couple of possibilities here. First of all, it's interesting, you're gone from Iowa. You know, folks who collide with animals here on the East Coast, it's mostly deer. It's a real prevalent problem. But colliding with a 200-pound deer, it's colliding with a 500-pound steer is a whole different ballgame. It sounds like you really got banged up. So what can happen, after an injury? First of all, when you're healing from an injury, you get into a really catabolic state because your body is working overtime to heal it. That happened to me when I broke my hip a few years back. It was about 6 or 8 years ago. And, I'm a guy who kind of works to maintain healthy muscle mass and weight. I tend to go skinny if I don't exercise that much. And I lost weight. In fact, I put on the suits that I usually wore when I went back to work, and I looked like, looked like a scarecrow. The suits were oversized. And I said, oh, my goodness, I'm just wasting away. And until I got back into a regular exercise program and started to really heal and was in less pain and my body wasn't dealing with the burden of healing, I kept losing weight. So that's part of it. The other possibility is, when you're injured like this, you really have to keep an eye on your anabolic hormones, your DHEA and your testosterone. And you sound like you might be at the age where they could be declining anyway. So I would make sure that your doctor checks your testosterone, your DHEA. By the way, testosterone and DHEA are very helpful for facilitating wound healing. Now, I don't know if you can get a cooperative doctor out there in Iowa to support that, because many doctors are fearful of giving patients testosterone, particularly after an article recently suggested that testosterone was potentially harmful or dangerous for men to take. And this article has been really criticized lately because a new article has come out that is an even bigger study that suggests that not only is testosterone not harmful for men's hearts, the thought was it wasn't so much about prostate. Prostate is a concern, but the new study from the VA said, oh my goodness, testosterone can give you heart attacks. So what we began hearing on the radio and even on TV is a bunch of lawyers advertising, trolling for clients. Have you taken testosterone? Have you or a loved one suffered a heart attack? Well, yeah, you know, older men sometimes when they take testosterone, stuff happens. They could have heart attacks. They could have strokes. That happens in the older population anyway, and then they're going to blame it on the testosterone. Well, it turns out, according to a new study, not only was there no increase in the risk of heart attack or stroke, but there was, in the group that was most at risk of heart attacks, they had a 30% reduction in their risk of heart problems with testosterone. So testosterone turned out to be good for the heart. So just a little digression on the subject of testosterone. Also, sometimes the medications that are used for pain can interfere with digestion, particularly non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs that can cause gastrointestinal problems. That could be part of the issue for you. But I really think you ought to get a workup on your hormones, make sure that, you know, your stress levels are not super high at this point, because it is stressful to be in pain. High low cortisol tend to cause your muscle strength to wane, and your muscles are, you know, not, you're not exercising. You're not doing the heavy kind of work that you're used to doing that maintains your muscle mass. You're sedentary because of the pain. So I think that's what's happening, David, you know, and I hope that you get proper medical attention for these things. And
right.
Hopefully this will pass as your injuries heal.
Yeah. Well, I told them
that. Does that sound like a reasonable assessment?
Yes, it does. But you know what? I told them exactly what you're telling me, you know, and I'm not an idiot. You know, I keep trying, but I can't get them to do it. I don't know. Now, what could I possibly tell a doctor if I'm looking at him? I want these tests done and actually get them to do it.
Yeah, you know, it sounds like that you're addressing the problem that I addressed in my book, How to Talk to Your Doctor About Complementary and Alternative Medicines. Very often doctors don't want to deviate from the straight path, you know, from what are considered the strict medical guidelines, which often are about cost containment. You know, they're not even about serving the patient, but they're about, you know, what will the insurance company cover? What will Medicare cover? You know, don't go too far afield. Don't take a chance. Don't think out of the box. And, you know, obviously you're a creative thinker, and, you know, even you can envision that there are other problems that the doctor's not working up. You know, you got to sometimes vote with your feet, see a specialist, you know, head for a big university hospital, or sometimes jump on a plane to get, you know, the right kind of medical care these days. You know,
well, if I keep losing weight like this, I'm not going to last that long, okay? I'm like 70 years old now, so.
Yeah, well, this, look, you're precisely at the age where that kind of injury can sometimes set you into a downwards spiral. We call it the dwindles, you know, and that's something that really needs to be addressed. So hopefully we can address it and turn that trend around. Check out our article at drhoffman.com. It's actually an article on underweight. What are some of the causes of underweight? Everybody complains about overweight. This month, we featured an article about one of our Hoffman Center employees who had great difficulty in gaining weight, and we look at some of the causes for that. We did a podcast on the subject, so check it out at drhoffman.com and also read the article. Thanks for your call. Thanks for your kind words, David, out there in Iowa. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System, a complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh. Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
Prevent those frustrating seasonal symptoms, including sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes that can spoil your time outdoors by supercharging your immune response right at the source, your digestive tract. where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. If your immune system views pollen, animal dander, or wheat as a dangerous invader, it will react by stimulating an inflammatory response and incite all those unpleasant symptoms. What you may not know is that the immune receptor cells residing in your gut all depend on a healthy probiotic population to function at their peak. That's why Dr. Fred Pescatore, a best-selling author on the subject, recommends Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a top-tier defense in the management of seasonal symptoms. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics delivers live, beneficial bacteria in an easily absorbed formula and is backed by over 25 years of research. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference and enjoy the outdoors again.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast, updated several times weekly. Go to drhoffman.com.
Back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Here's the dumbest idea ever. You know, you heard about soda taxes and junk food taxes. And every time they try to enact one of these, there's a big pushback from industry. And they say, well, you know, it's America's a free country. We want freedom of choice. And we don't want to burden people with excess taxes. So those taxes usually go down to defeat. However, and this is the ingenuity of government, Washington's government, the government of our capital, Washington, D.C., is attempting to enact what is called a yoga tax. The 5.75% levy, variously known as the yoga tax, the gym tax, or as fitness activists prefer to call it, the wellness tax, is a component of a larger budget package likely up for a vote before the 13-member Washington, D.C. Council this week. And this is nuts because, you know, sin taxes are one of the ways that government has of raising revenue, you know, like gambling taxes, I get it, smoking taxes, liquor taxes, okay, maybe soda taxes, but a tax on belonging to a gym or going to a yoga tax, I mean, it would seem that the government would not want to create a perverse incentive and say, well, oh, it's, you know, pricing these activities out of existence. And so there's a lot of pushback, understandably, against these taxes. And so they're coordinating a campaign. It is the Don't Tax Wellness Coalition. It's a group of fitness leaders who've cooked up a slogan, and they've got a strategy for opposing this tax. And they say that they've got an ingenious idea, because let's say this thing does get passed, because, look, inevitably taxes are creeping up. Virtually every human activity is going to be subject to taxation. And they say, though, if the tax makes it through the council, the yoga crowd has an alternative in mind to win back their tax-exempt status. And this is the heart of American ingenuity. So what are they going to do? Chief among these plans is to classify yoga as a religious activity. Okay? It's like we're just exercising our religious freedom to, you know, do yoga. That's an ancient, East Indian practice. It is the part of the Sanskrit religious tradition. And we who adhere to it and perform yoga are a religious minority. We don't want to be taxed unfairly. That would be like taxing the Catholics or the Jews or the Muslims or the Presbyterians. So definitely they can't be taxed. And that's, I think that's a pretty cool strategy to, I mean, what are they thinking? What will the politicians cook up next for us, people who are striving to maintain wellness in the face of overwhelming odds? All right, 888-302-3684. More of Intelligent Medicine coming back at you. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast, updated several times weekly. Go to drhoffman.com.
Back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. You know, Alzheimer's disease, a very formidable problem. 5.5 million victims now, but with 10,000 baby boomers reaching the Alzheimer's risk period, the need for drug treatment is even more urgent. There may be 14 million Alzheimer's sufferers by 2050. That's unacceptable and will be a crushing burden on our economy and our medical budgets. And so the need is ever more present for an approach that's going to stave off this terrible epidemic. But according to new research from the Cleveland Clinic, 99.6% of Alzheimer's disease drug trials are unsuccessful. They're just coming up against a brick wall when it comes to medical research to arrive at a cure. And so natural approaches to preventing dementia are in the forefront. We know about quite a few: ginkgo biloba, DHA from fish oil, acetyl L-carnitine, huperzine, vinpocetine, coenzyme Q10 or ubiquinol, alpha lipoic acid, and a recent very exciting trial using good old-fashioned vitamin E at 2,000 international units of vitamin E. That's a very high dose, but it reduced the dependency of Alzheimer's patients on help, on outside help, by 30%. Very dramatic result. Completely exceeding the benefits of any of the drugs that had been put forth. So here's just a small item that could help with patients who suffer from Alzheimer's disease, something that has been hitherto ignored: melatonin. Now, many older patients suffer from what's called sundowning. They get hallucinations, they become agitated, they have a complete disruption of their circadian rhythm, and they literally go bonkers, especially at night. And melatonin, 2.5 milligrams to 3 milligrams taken by mouth at 7 p.m. in elderly patients who are at risk for delirium, may help to prevent or manage the delirium, according to a new study. Now, here's another interesting note about melatonin, which we tend to think of, helpful for sleep, but also may be helpful for osteoporosis. Headline: melatonin makes old bones stronger, according to research. You know, bone building occurs primarily at night when you're sleeping. And if you don't sleep properly or deeply, that may be part of why older people have trouble with osteoporosis. So recently, research with elderly rats shows that melatonin supplementation improved the bone density in the femurs of the elderly rats. That would be the hip bones. Those who'd received the melatonin supplements were then compared with those of a control group, and the researchers found that there was a significant increase in both bone volume and density among the rats that had received melatonin supplements. And it took much more force to break the bones of rats that had taken the melatonin supplements. Now, this has not been fully translated to humans, but hey, you know, we're all mammals, and we're closely related, some of us more so than others, I think, to rodents. You may know some among your friends and family, but clearly melatonin has a role to play in the aging and staving off the ravages of the aging process, both in mind and in bones. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.